Okay, we'll open up the work session at 6 o'clock. First thing on our agenda here is the phone system.
So we've been talking about the phone systems. We all know we need to upgrade to the new voice over IP phone system in the cloud. Al and I have been working our due diligence, looking at all different providers. Right here, we have the quote after breaking down all the different providers. Some were prem-based, some were cloud-based. Going with 8x8 as the provider for the VoIP system, because they offer what we were looking for, right? Some of these, as if you look here, X-Series X1, X-Series X2, those are seat quantities, right? Some of these seats, like the 8, we don't need voicemail on those. The 19 we do. And these are buying the phones. And I'm against buying these phones just because they change so often. But if you look here, I'm sorry, I didn't attach that. There's a rebate on these phones. So at the end of the day, these phones are like $15 to $20 each, the owner, which is not a bad price. So it's next to nothing, yeah. Right? So right here, we're looking at a total of monthly reoccurring charge. The second page is $484.
And what do we pay now?
$339 or $349 a month for Spectrum. So it's not a huge increase.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of an offset here. So I went back to Verizon and told them that we weren't going to go with their voice over IP product. Mm-hmm. And said that we may not even go to Fios because their rate was a little bit higher than what Spectrum was charging us. Mm-hmm. And they offered us a couple discounts and brought our rate for a 400 by 400 Fios service down to $199 or $100.99 per month. Currently, we pay Spectrum $112.95 a month for like a $12 a month savings. So. Better product.
Yeah. A lot better product.
I was going to say, yeah, the product's a lot better.
So we have a resolution on the agenda tonight to authorize you to sign the contract for this. And actually, the sales guy said, I don't really have a sales contract for you yet. They have to come out and do the site evaluation before they give us a contract. But I just sent him an email tomorrow morning that we're going to move forward and a copy of the board resolution. And then they do the site evaluation. He said he did not anticipate any charges to run the drop into the building.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that's a sales guy.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Not a technician right. That's in the field, but the
sales guy did a site survey.
Yeah. The sales guy said he at our site, he did not anticipate any charges to run the drop into the building.
Okay, so, good.
Hold on, though. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing.
There is an additional fee because you got to purchase the phones up front, right? So the one time there's...
Okay, all right. So on the front, in the big numbers, today's total $1,161.87. Monthly total $650.07. But you said there was a monthly total of $484. So what's the difference in there?
So some of these are taxes that we'll have to back out because we won't pay taxes.
Okay.
We don't pay the New York State excise tax. We don't pay. We have to pay the 911 fee, I believe.
Yep.
We do have to pay the E911 service fee, but that's $484 prior to taxes. Some of these taxes down at the bottom are not applicable to us.
Okay, so we add another $54 to the $484 based on those.
Tax we don't pay. We don't pay.
We actually budgeted in the 2021 budget
$750.
I was going to say, Dave put $750 a month in, so we're covered budget wise. Yeah. To go forward with this.
That's all right. I just want to understand the paper that I have in front of me. Also, there's another thing here. It says, thanks, we appreciate you. Enjoy month free. Okay, so the $484 in savings is the 1 month free that we're getting.
Correct.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And when will this kick in?
As soon as we sign it and start moving numbers over. 10 days.
Okay, Verizon said that they would be 5 to 10 days before they came to the survey. And then after they do the site survey, provided we sign the 2-year contract, they said that they could have us installed within 10 days. So hopefully by the end of January, we have the FiOS in, and we can go ahead and authorize Bob to sign the contract.
And we could sign this ahead of time, too, and then we could delay the implementation of it, too, because we hold the cards, because we have the port numbers over.
Sure.
Right, so.
I don't know if I care, but I mean that sincerely, but are we taking this out of 2020 money initially and then roll it to...
No, 2021.
All 2021.
Yeah, we have the money for it is all in 2021.
Okay,
yeah.
even the outright purchase. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, super. Great. Good job, guys.
Roman, any questions?
No. Makes sense.
Sewer repair at Willow Parkway. So many of you probably already know, if you don't, back in November, we had a pretty major sewer break on Willow Parkway and a significant sinkhole. DE Trolley fixed that under their emergency trench and culvert bid for us. Part of the reason I believe that occurred was there's a drop manhole on Willow Parkway. So a drop manhole is, the manhole is about 15 feet deep. The incoming pipe comes in at about 7 feet below grade, and then it drops another 8 feet into the bottom of the manhole. And it's a discharge point for a pressure sewer. So our West Entry Road pump station discharges into that manhole. The drop, the pipe that comes out and sends the water smoothly down to the bottom of the manhole, had deteriorated to the point that it had blown off the manhole and lodged in the bottom of the manhole and was partially blocking flow. So pressure built up in that manhole from the manhole surcharging. The pump kicked on, it pushed that drop manhole piece that had fallen off to the side, and all of a sudden there was this huge slug of water under immense pressure that pushed through that pipe that was, you know, 52 years old, and the pipe failed. We need to fix the drop piece of the manhole that corroded off. Unfortunately, it's going to cost more to fix that piece of drop pipe than it did to fix the piece of sewer main that collapsed. Simply because we cannot replace the pipe that's a drop structure with the sewer being live. It was no big deal to block off flow in that manhole for 10 minutes and slide a new piece of pipe in and put a new expansion boot on the outlet side of the manhole and get that work done. In this instance, we're going to have to pump the flow coming into West Entry Road Pump Station into tanker trucks, drive those tanker trucks downstream to the Patchett Road Trunk Sewer here on 31 and discharge into a downstream manhole. To keep up with that flow, we're going to have 3 7,000 gallon vacuum tanker trucks on site.
How long do we expect to have the...
I have 10 hours written into the project estimate. I think the whole repair will be about a 3-day process and then in addition to that, we have some gravity sewer that contributes to the flow to that manhole from the residential section of Radisson. So the upstream flow from the residential areas, we're going to have to bypass pump around that manhole as well. So we're going to have 2 8-inch pumps set up and 760 feet of hose to bypass the residential flow around that manhole, in addition to the tanker trucks that are hauling the West Entry Road pump station waste. I anticipate this being a 3-day project, but it's going to take a day to set the pumps up and to get everything set so that, and the pipe exposed on the outside of the manhole for day one. Day two, we do the bypass pumping, install the new drops piping into the manhole and backfill the manhole. And then a third day to disassemble all the bypass pumping, clean up the site, and get back to normal working order. Right now I've got a 15% contingency on this just because we could open up a whole can of worms here that manhole that's in and of itself is not in good shape. If push came to shove and we needed to get a new manhole here right away, we would that's a real possibility. I hope that doesn't happen, but I think we can do that without going that far. I've got to say just under $35,000 for this project.
Is this an urgency that we need to do?
Yes, we need to do that. No, not yesterday. No, I'm still working on getting the quotes that I need for procurement. I do want to try to get this done as soon as possible after the holidays. The longer we let that pressure sewer blast against the opposite side of that manhole, the more damage we're doing to that manhole every day. Do I think it's going to erode through the side of that manhole in the next 2 weeks? No. But we're not doing that manhole any favors by letting that pressure sewer blast against the side of it every time those pumps kick on. I mean, they're 250 horsepower pumps in West Entry Road Pump Station. It's not a, you know, we're talking 12 to 15,000 gallons of flow into that West Entry Pump Station per hour.
Wow. So, are we going to have to close the entire road down?
No, we are only going to have to close one crossing of the median on Willow Parkway that is directly across from Town Center and North Entry Road. So in between where Town Center and North Entry Road comes out, we're going to have to close that median crossing. Minimal effects on traffic because, as you know, North Entry comes back around to Glacier Ridge, so you can get to the north end of Willow Parkway if you have to go that way. And Town Center comes back around to Willow Parkway if you need to go south off of Town Center. So there is easy detours. We don't have to close any roads other than that one median crossing. If everything goes smooth, it's a 3-day project and we're, you know, we fixed what is a pretty significant deficiency in our Radisson sewer district.
And how does this expense play out with the district?
So we have $65,000 in the district balance currently. We spent $17,000 on the main break that we had in November. Like I said, I've got a $35,000 estimate right now. That may come down as we go through the quote process for procurement, but I don't expect it to come down significantly. We're okay, but we're bringing the fund balance there down pretty low.
Yeah.
Obviously, it gets an infusion of money in the 2021 revenue, but there's not a heck of a lot of
If something else goes wrong, we're in
trouble. Yes.
How long did it take to build that $65,000 up? Do you have any idea?
Oh, I don't know that number off the top of my head, but I know that we don't typically charge that district a lot more than what we anticipate our maintenance cost to be. But that being said, I believe with special districts, Tony, we aren't allowed to. I think there's a limit on how much fund balance you can carry in a there's some part of New York State town law that I don't think you can
you can't just build it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the hell of it.
Yes. So
well I wouldn't recommend building it up for the hell of it. But I would if a single project comes out to be $35,000.
The only good thing that we have on the horizon
right.
is the county's gonna take over our sewer system right. with this lease in 2021. Okay.
So it probably all goes away
after 2021 anyway, but right now this is a pretty big need, just want you guys to be aware of it. This is where we're going to end up, I hope. I am going to have a couple of a manhole base section already cored, kind of waiting in the wings at Jefferson Concrete, that if we absolutely need it, we can send a truck up there and grab it and put it in. I don't anticipate that we'll end up needing it, but I'd rather be safe than sorry and not find out that the inside of that manhole is in such poor condition that we can't anchor that drop structure to it once we get it opened up.
We're
going to push forward and after the first of the year, get this on schedule and get it done.
And what did you say, the counties until 2021?
Yeah, they're going to, in fact, Frank Mento was due to come in on at one of our last meetings, but he came, he actually was just recovering from COVID, so he didn't. But he's going to be here on the 17th, our second meeting in January, and give a presentation on the sewer takeovers. But that's something that's countywide, and it's nothing that we're going to, nothing that we're not going to participate in.
No,
we're not going to complain.
Yeah, yeah, that isn't going to be. So we had.
Should we wait until the county takes over the sewer? my fear is that that manhole fails before they do, and then we're.
That all comes out of the district money. It's not, so, I mean, we.
The cost, if we have a sanitary sewer overflow, that manhole, right. Because we have a collapse,
could be a lot more than that. Than they even have.
We have the money in the account, we need to fix this problem. It's not worth the environmental or risk to the sewer system. So I just wanted everybody to know, this is where we're at. We're probably gonna, use most of the fund balance in that district, but.
So what would happen with all that money if the county does take it over?
It would go towards debt service. Yeah, we have significant debt service in that district, so.
All right.
Hey, Art.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we just replace the whole thing given the age?
The whole line?
No, the
whole manhole.
Manhole.
If it's in, I think it's hard to, you don't know what the outside of it looks like until you expose it. So the inside of it, it's got some issues, some degradation. It's not past the point of where we could epoxy line it though. As long as the outside of the structure is in good shape, that's the next step is interval. We'll have that manhole epoxy line, but epoxy line of that manhole is like $1,200. You know what I mean? So that's not a huge expense. First, we got to get the new drop structure installed, and then we'll look at.
I watched them do the emergency repair because I had to bring them home.
Yes.
It was a 12-hour ordeal on a Saturday.
Yes. Hence the $17,000 labor charge. There's a couple truckloads of stone in there and a couple lengths of pipe, but essentially it was about $17,000 in labor to repair that. And luckily enough, we didn't have any sanitary sewer overflows. They did it while the sewer was live, so we didn't have to do bypass pumping. Because bypass pumping is, as you can see from what we just discussed, it gets really expensive really fast. Nobody else got any questions? We'll plug away at this right after the holidays.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
The organizational meeting format. Tony, what we're looking to do is, as opposed to taking the organizational meeting and reading through 20 or 30 resolutions, most towns. Right, Tony? Most towns do one resolution because everything's all written down anyway. It's all online. And that one resolution covers the whole thing. And Dina contacted the associations of towns. They sent, and they agreed with Tony. And they also sent us some examples of what they should look like. So I sent you an email tonight. You can take a look at it, but as long as it's authorized, I don't see any reason why we need to do that. Read through everything that people will have copies of anyway. So we'll make sure that everything that is in there, we send it out ahead of time, and then we'll just pass the one resolution, and that'll cover everything as opposed to an hour's worth of tedious reading.
That makes sense. And how soon do you think you could get to us the draft of it before we actually meet?
Oh, all it is writing up just one resolution.
The different committees and who's involved.
We had a draft. We went over the draft the other day. As soon as Dina fixes the things we found in there were some typos and some people that had to be put on committees, had to be taken off, some names of employees and stuff. Soon as she gets done with that, I'm gonna have her send it out to everybody. And then, because I wanna make sure, you know, we have more eyes taking a look at it. And then if it looks good, we'll just move, you know, make it the final draft. But you should have that maybe by next week.
It's kind of a floating thing. Keep in mind that there's nothing in town law, in state town law, that even talks about organizational meeting.
Oh, that's interesting.
There's no requirement that you have an organizational meeting. It's a recommendation, particularly by the Association of Towns, that you do an organizational meeting as early as possible in the year. But it's also a two-year situation. So what they've said in the past is you don't organize every year, you organize every 2 years. So when you make your appointments, they're really for two-year appointments until the next board comes in. The next board might be just counselors, or it could be the supervisor plus the counselors. So there's really no, you know, exact way to do it. Everybody's a little bit different. I've represented several towns. One town in particular used to have the organizational meeting on January 1st. It's not recorded. They just said as soon as practicable after the beginning of the year. But he used to do it January 1st. Disrupted everybody's holiday and sit there for 10 minutes and, you know, read the thing. So, in talking to Bob, I mean, it makes sense to just do it in one resolution. You're going to have, let's call it the organizational agenda, that you go over ahead of time so that you know what you're voting on. And if everything's okay, you make one resolution and approve the organizational agenda as provided. And that's the end of it.
Oh, I'm happy with that. It's pretty tedious.
It's a two-year appointment. You need to do that every year, though?
No, technically, a two-year appointment. Theoretically, we really didn't need to do anything this year.
You're right.
If you got some changes because there's somebody moved or whatever,
yeah.
You can do that. But it's like, let me give you an example. We pick every 2 years, or every year, we pick the newspaper. But you could pick the newspaper at the two-year situation and not have to change it the next year. Just leave it there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it goes for 2 years automatically. We have, in a lot of towns, do it thinking that you got to do it every year. Like I say, there's nothing in the town law that even talks about organizational meeting. It's just something that's evolved. And, you know, the Association of Towns recommends you do it as soon as the beginning of the year is passed, just so that you have the rest of your year planned out and done. Yeah.
So, we're going to do an organizational meeting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
they can also be done, by the way, at your regular meeting.
Okay.
You don't have to have a separate meeting for the organization.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing. The first meeting of the year.
Yeah.
On the 7th will be ours.
But you'll need to see the agenda so you know what's in there in case there's any questions.
Right. And it's coming right up. It's our next meeting. Are we going to need an executive session? Because I know we have. We did it last year, a one-year appointment. So should we meet and talk about that aspect of it?
I don't think we need to do that when.
If they're one-year appointments,
yeah,
you probably don't need to change anything because next year would be the organizational meeting after the election, after a town election next year.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, 2022 would actually be the organizational meeting. Where you would make appointments for 2 years.
Well, I sent you the information that the Association of Towns sent with the examples.
Okay.
So why don't you take a look at that? I'll have, when Dina gets through with them, as soon as she gets through, I'll send them those all out to you, take a look at them. And if everybody's good with it, then we'll do it with the one, we'll come up with a resolution. If not, we don't have to do it. We can do it any way we want to do it. But I just thought that, you know, if we don't have to read through all those things, because that's stuff that people are going to get anyway.
Right, I get that. But issues, don't we have one-year contracts with, like, for instance, your contract's a one-year contract,
yeah.
Right? So do we need to discuss that before we go into our organizational meeting?
You could leave that the way it is, make that a 1 year. Everybody else is, the employees are really the 2 year.
Yeah, I mean, we can have an executive session to talk about that. You know, that's not a problem either.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, if we
keep in mind, anything that you have on there, which is part of the resolution, you can do separately. You don't have to do it you know, as one resolution. If you want to take one thing out and say, let's remove that on the agenda.
Right.
And do it separately, you can do that too.
Okay, well, I figured we could. I mean, the whole idea of not having to read all the resolutions is good. I just want to dot my I's and cross my T's with contracts.
I got you. Because, you know, it's online, it's on TV, so everybody, it's not like you're doing something behind anybody's back.
Okay.
A copy of what we're doing is going to be available to anybody that goes to the meeting. So, you know, sit there and read it to them.
No. I don't want to sit there and read everything. I mean, that's a... No, that's...
It's just tedious.
Right.
An hour and a half, probably.
That's the supervisor reading.
No. I do not want to go through...
That's what's going to happen.
No, I do not want to go through every single resolution on the organization meeting. I've been through enough of those. Yeah. And I think it's great to have one resolution for that.
I just have one other question for Dylan. Did jury ever buy that fire truck on bid?
I don't think it was
not the one he bid on.
Okay, I was just kidding.
It ended up selling for $50 more than he was authorized for to spend.
Somebody listened to our meeting or something.
Yeah. I wrote it down. Somebody's watching
me. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Kevin, did you buy that?
What fire truck?
He's going to bid on the fire truck.
He's got an old rescue truck there. It's old by cage, but not by mileage.
That's exactly what it was.
That's what we looked.
It didn't go through because online it said December 28th.
Oh, so bad. It's listed again?
I think so.
Oh, really?
We'll have to tell Jerry.
Yeah.
Let me look at the. I swore it came up.
Yeah, it was
truck.
It was out in like. No, this one was out in by Saratoga Springs.
Yeah, this was a rescue truck.
But there's another rescue truck. Does it have a big
No, it's not a big one, like a six wheeler.
Yes, yeah, it's a six wheeler.
This was a six wheel, a dually, like a one ton truck.
No, this was.
This had a 10,000 watt diesel generator in the back and.
No, it wasn't that.
Okay.
So that one wasn't called.
We've been fortunate. The money that we're supposed to be getting has been coming through. So our AIM money that we weren't sure how much we were getting, we actually got. I got an email today. We're getting $77,400 out of that, and I think. What did you say?
We usually get about $40,000for that. Like 44,000, something like that.
Yeah, we're getting 77.
Wow.
But I think the AIM is all tied in. Maybe you might know this, Tony. The AIM is all tied in to sales tax with online sales. I think that's where that money comes from. So this is a big year for online sales.
Yeah, I think that's what.
Yeah.
You pick up the online stuff.
Yeah, the online. So we're getting lucky there. And then with our insurance. We've been talking to our insurances. We're probably going to save an additional, I think the number's about $3,400 in insurance on top of what we already did. So that's good. I had one other thing. I just can't remember what it is.
Did you talk about the mortgage tax that you did yet?
I did the last time. Yeah, the mortgage tax was $185,000 over what we budgeted.
Talked about that last time.
Yeah. That's good. That was good. So.
That's all good because we don't know what's going to happen next year because that's the budget that we're really going to
feel. Yeah, next year is going to be ugly.
I mean, well, all
could
this
be,
is...
The, could right, be
might
ugly,
be,
yeah.
Right.
We're
might
hoping,
not be.
We're hoping
it might
it's not
be,
but,
and you know, we're hedging by getting this money and we're hedging our best.
So, so that's all I got.
Wow.
The employee badge.
Oh,
that's good. Is including highways, right?
That's everybody. Yeah, I did have that down. The policy. So now, this format that you're looking at is how Nancy and I are in the process of breaking down. The current employee handbook includes the employee handbook, and it also includes policies and procedures. They should be broken down. You know, the employee handbook should be, you know, employee benefits, things like that. And the policy and procedure should be separate from that, and it should be in one manual. So if people want to know exactly what they are, they can go to that policy manual, and they don't have to fumble through the current one we have. Is a little, it's really not user friendly, and I personally, I didn't like the way that the policies were in there. It didn't really break them down specific enough that I like to see them. This is the format that every policy that we're going to have is going to be in. We're going to take all the policies that are in the handbook currently, put them into this format. They'll all have a 2021 designation, so it'll be 2021-001 through whatever. Any new ones that we have that we did last year in 2020, we'll have the 2020-006, so you know they're new. And then moving forward, whenever we do new ones, they'll just, whatever the year is, the first one in 2022, and it's a brand new policy, then it'll be 2022-001. And then when you look them up, you'll be able to look them up either by their policy number or alphabetically. And then what we can do is, right now, the way it is, when was the last time they were revised? There's no revision dates on them or anything. What I'm going to have Nancy do is issue every employee a thumb drive. So every employee will have a thumb drive, and your policies and procedures will be on that. So if we update the policies and procedures, you don't have to pump out paper. The person just brings it to Nancy, she plugs it into hers, and hits brand new. And what she'll do is, in her draft, each time we update any of the policies and procedures, there'll be a revision date at the bottom. So you know, like this one, it's brand new, so it hasn't been revised, it's new, but we should be going through these policies and procedures yearly anyway, just to review them to see if we have enough, if we need something more, if the ones we have should be revised. Because there were, I can't give you an example off the top of my head, but when I was asking her if, I said, do we have this, and she said, I don't think so. So there are a number of policies that we should have that we don't have. And over the course of the year, Nancy and I will be working on those things. And then what we'll do is what I have her doing now is she's, like I said, she's changing all the current ones we have into this format. Once she gets those done, the current ones into this format, I'll bring them to you, let you review them, and then we can pass a resolution and adopt them the way they are. And then as we do new ones, then we'll do them individually. But we could probably just do the one policy procedure manual. And that, it's probably going to take her a little while, so we're probably looking at around April or May before we get to that. Because we still have our handbook, but like I said, I just think this is a much cleaner way to do it. It's easier if you're looking for a specific thing, you can look it up. That current handbook is kind of...
I would suggest putting it on the server instead of giving everyone thumb drives, and then have her have permission to that folder where she can make the edits. So that way
it's great for everybody except the highway. Highway doesn't have access to the server.
They can email.
What I like though about the flash drive opportunity though is we can sign off or make them sign it saying that they received the policies, so the employees are aware of everything.
Right. That's the other thing. We want to make sure that they have their copy.
No, you could put it in the server so they have access to it as well too. The problem is thumb drives, now you're having another security issue too, right? People can put stuff in there that can create viruses. They plug it home, now they bring something from their home into this environment that has a virus on it, now it affects all the computers here as well.
I would suggest paper.
Okay. I mean, we're not talking about that much paper.
I would suggest paper, especially for the highway department, simply because they don't have regular...
Well, the highway department would have to be paper anyway.
But yes,
I don't care. I mean, that's no big deal for me. The only thing with that is I was just looking to see when we're making revisions. The only problem with the paper, right, Sergeant Fisher, you give people... and I'm sure he's done it. Hey, here's your new policy, and they're responsible for updating it, and then you see it in the waste paper basket or on the table, right? I mean, that's the only problem. Now, they're all going to be responsible for it. I I know that, and if everybody, I mean, if we want to do it by paper, fine. I don't care. I just, you know, we can do it whatever way you want to do. But the first thing is, let's get them done, and then however we want to issue them out to everybody.
Sure, yeah.
But everybody should have.
I mean, we could put them in a three-wing grinder and just have everybody, when there's a new policy issue, Nancy collects all the three-ring grinders, puts the updates in, and hands them back out.
Yeah, you guys will figure
it out. I mean, we can figure out something.
Yeah, we can. I mean, if we want to do a paper, I don't care.
Jeff makes a very good point.
That's a valid point. So
I just want to make sure that they sign off saying that.
They're going to have to sign up. Yeah.
Regardless of what we did.
Yeah, they're going to have to sign off on them, because the thing is, the current policies that we have, you know, I'm going to give them an option. Okay, if there's anything, here's your policy book. You have, you know, a month to look at them. If there's any questions with them, because I'm not sure when they had new policies, if they went through and asked everybody or read them out and made sure everybody understood them and had an opportunity to ask any questions. So we'll issue them out to them, have them look at them, see if there's any questions with the current ones. But as we get new ones, then we're going to, when I have the department head meetings, I'm going to explain the new policies to the department heads, and it's going to be up to them to explain it to their the people that are working under them, and to make sure that they sign off on.
Can I ask a question about the badge one?
Sure.
So I think it's great. Just a couple of devil's advocate kind of questions. So in the first part, you're going an identification badge with lanyard.
Where is that under?
Right here on the purpose. Authorized visitor badge. And then the first one under the responsibilities is wearing the identification badge and lanyard. So that's just and my only question is, this is on town premises, so I'm assuming if you're working in the park, you have to have one of these on, which is good. But what about the folks that are doing kind of manual labor?
Yeah.
So can you just work? I don't care how you do it.
Yeah, what we're doing is I ordered three kinds of items that they can put their badges in. So one would be like you said, if it's the highway guys, for instance, they have one that'll have an extended thing. They can wear it on their waist and it'll extend out. And then there's other ones that'll have a lanyard, because they shouldn't be wearing lanyards. And then there's other ones that will have a pocket clip, so they'll be able to pick and choose whichever one they want.
Perfect.
You know, the highway guys, I'm going to tell them, I don't want them to have lanyards or the parks people. Anybody that's working around machinery or anything like that, they shouldn't have it. So, we did buy three different kinds of devices for that.
And then the only other thing that I had on the agenda, I'm a total supporter of this, but we're letting them convert vacation days to sick time, just sick time, because you had thought maybe at one time I was the one that said let them choose between sick time and or vacation time.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I think it just says sick time.
No. No, I said to carry over or convert into sick
or
time.
Convert.
Oh, carry or convert.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's either or.
Yep.
So I just have one question on,
thank you.
It actually is item A, but it's the sheet that comes with item A over here that we have extra down in part four, terms of new members. None of those numbers changed. Did you see that?
What's that?
Terms of new members, item four under the new local law.
Are you reading from the local law itself?
I'm reading from the piece of paper that was in our mailbox where we're.
Item four, the terms. Well, what's going to happen, we're going to lose two people anyway. I don't know where their terms are, but to determine what's left, the five board members that are left, the idea is the person who has the latest appointment, he will serve 1 year.
Right.
I see what Peter's going for if you actually read this, so it actually reads, the individual appointed to fill a position of the newly created sixth board member position shall initially serve a term of 6 years. The individual appointed to fill out the position of the newly created seventh board member shall initially serve a term of 7 years.
that's it.
So that doesn't necessarily apply anymore because we're going to a five-member board.
So it should be
so
five.
Maybe we just say board member terms will be 5 years consecutive moving forward.
I sent...
This is the one you sent, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you know what, though? I think I deleted all those. At the term of new members, I deleted all those, and I replaced them with the terms of the remaining board members shall be determined by their date of appointment. The oldest appointment date shall serve a one-year term commencing January 1, 2021. The next oldest date a term of 2 years, et cetera.
Okay, so you can eliminate. You want me to make one? Can you make that one and make photocopies, Tony?
Yeah, this is. I thought I sent that to Dina, but when I sent it, I may have sent it to you.
Do you have the one that I'm looking at, Tony? The one
yes.
that he read from? Because
yes.
that is the part that was confusing me.
Yeah, we're going to take that out.
Right. Well, that's what I figured. I just wanted to make sure that it was taken out.
I think
out.
It's when I emailed it to Dina, I had this version. That's what we had previously.
Right, yeah.
And I thought I deleted it and did the rest of it, but. My computer skills may not be all up to date, but I changed it so it's different.
Right.
Yeah, thereafter, yeah, that should be 5 years.
Well, or just deleted. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like
yeah,
Tony, it just shouldn't, that right. paragraph just shouldn't
yeah.
be there.
Right. Yeah.
So,
but, I mean, if we're going to act on it, I thought we should get rid of it before we acted on
I'll
it.
Give you the doing. Bob, did you want to bring up to the board thing that we talked about the other day with the governor's new mandate to do this plan for
we can
just to let him know let me do it
go ahead and
the
then
the governor signed a new law on Labor Day, and what he's mandating that the towns do and all municipalities do is to create a plan for what we will do if there's another epidemic or pandemic. So he's requiring us to put together a plan. He wants us, giving us some guidance, he wants us to assemble a planning team, understand the plan requirements, develop a plan, contact areas and conduct, and then internal review, provide a draft plan for the labor representatives for comment, review comments and respond to labor representatives, and finalize and post the plan. All this is supposed to be done by April of this year, 2021.
By the end of April, right?
End of April.
Yeah.
If you guys...
Yeah,
you
I saw that. Do
you all get that? Yeah, it's right in there in the beginning. So I saw it the other day, and I just said, you know, it's not something you can do overnight, so you got to do some planning. I got to form a committee to figure out what we want to do is I think we've done a lot of this stuff already.
Yeah.
You know, for this year. And it may just be... Here's what we're going to do if it happens again. So, but somebody's got to look at it and do it, only because we got to send it into the state.
We're discussing it at the supervisors are having a meeting first part of next month. So I was actually waiting to see what they had to say, what they're doing there, and then we'll bring it back. But yeah, we, like Tony said, we're mandated to have to come up with that, and then we have to give it to the unions. I don't think they have to sign off on it.
No, I think it's just
notify.
They suggest that you have a union representative
yeah.
on the committee,
mm-hmm.
which you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So, So.
But, you know, this year we've done a lot of the stuff in terms
yeah.
of what happens. One of the things that's required, I recall, is that you have to determine who your essential employees are.
Yep.
So.
Every employee is essential, right?
No.
I
know. No, because essential
no,
employees can do
their
certain things.
Essential.
No,
yeah. They actually can come to work and stuff, non-essential. And so it's going to take a little time, but we have four months. I mean, that'll go by quickly, but as soon as we're supposed to either meet on the 7th or the 14th. And we're going to have a discussion about it. So then I was waiting to see, you know, what they had to say. Because a lot of times, you know, they have people do it for them, you know. So,
well, if you reflected on everything that we've done in the past year, put that together in a document, and then put some plans.
A lot of the stuff that we did conforms to that. But there's other additional things that
right.
we have to do. And we'll have to break it down and split it up and give, you know, some people some work so that we just get it done in time. So I think if we get it done by the end of March, so that we have a document we can look at if we have to tweak it a little bit, but be done by April.
One thing it doesn't say in here is what the penalties are if we don't get it done by April.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it'll be.
Governor will
come up with something.
Chastise you on TV, yeah, saying town of Lysander isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, like he did with the sheriffs.
Yeah.
So, Robert, you have been in this job almost a year now. I was just curious, with these supervisor meetings that you go to, what's your general impression about the town of Lysander compared to what you're hearing about others?
I think we're doing okay.
I think so.
I think what
you're hearing from other supervisors.
You know, I think we're moving in the right direction compared to everybody. I see what everybody else is doing. Everybody has their own nuances. And the analogy I used and when Ashley Casey called me was, we want our residents to believe that we're the best town. It's just like having a football team. I mean, if you live in Buffalo, you think your football team's the best town. If you live in Pittsburgh, you think they're the best town. Well, if the people in Manlius think they have the best town, that's great, but it really doesn't. What we should be concerned about is how do our residents feel. If our residents feel that we got our town has got it going, that's I'm good with that, and that's what I told her.
I'm just curious if you sit at these meetings, if you say to yourself, "Oh my goodness, I'm glad we don't have that problem."
I think, and I don't want to pick on any more in town, but I think that. We are, there's a lot of things that I think we're doing right, you know? I mean, I listen to, because I'm one of the newer supervisors, and I listen to what's going on in the towns, and I think we're doing a lot of things right. You know, certainly we got, you know, things we can do better, but I think we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, I have only the sense of how good a job I think we're doing within all the work we're doing. I mean, keeping ourselves the lowest tax town, if not the lowest, right near the bottom, and then providing the level of service. But it's, you know, my intuition tells me that would be corroborated at these town supervisor meetings, that we, the town of Lysander, really is doing good.
Well,
I don't see this, so I don't. I'm just curious. If
yeah, I mean, I'm biased. I think
yeah,
that I think we got a great town. I like. That's why I live here. I think you know, we're doing a lot of the right things. We're moving in the right direction. But I think these other towns, they think the same thing about their towns. So, and that's okay. You know, I mean, but like I said, as long as our residents are happy, you know, I mean, that's good. All right.
We have to take a recess.
Before. Yeah, we'll close the meeting at 6:48.